You know, Bill, what amazes me is that why some pictures change and other pictures don't change. Why some pictures stabilize after they've changed and other pictures will just blank out or disappear or appear.
Maybe it's a difference in Kodak and Fujifilm.
Well, we use only Kodak. We use 400 ASA, black and white, and we use 400 ASA colored. And we've always used Kodak because, you know, Kodak supposedly is the best. That's a commercial for you, Kodak. And
how do they explain the changing photographs?
They cannot, and they don't venture to... They come up with some answers that you wouldn't believe.
Give me one. I'd believe it.
Well, they said that you moved the camera. Now, our tripods are pretty... They're as big as your TV tripods. They're
right.
Gigantic. So, or they said you held the camera. Or they said... Now, we photograph in total darkness. They said, well, someone moved the light. Well, we'll say there was no light in the room. How do you explain that? You know, what do you mean there was no light in the room? You can't photograph in total darkness. I mean, 20 years ago, how did you photograph in total darkness? 30 years ago or 40 years ago, we photographed in total darkness. And if there's energy in the room, it will be photographed. And its movement will be photographed. They say, well, that's ridiculous. This is an overlay. Or you put it in the oven. I've had people tell me I baked it in. And we can't pay to have all of our film negatives run through computers to find out if they're real or not. Either now we're at a point we don't care. We do it for our people, our researchers. We're content with the information we get. We no longer worry about proving it to the world because the world doesn't seem to be ready for a lot of the information that we're ready to give out.
I think a lot of people listening to this show are ready for the information, Nick. And listen, let's get back to our callers here in just a second. And certainly if you have any questions about another kind of a phenomenon that's going on, and that's Orantha, Douglas...
Mar.
Why do I want to say
Mar?
Why
are you having trouble with Mar?
I don't know.
He's a handsome galoot.
He's a handsome galoot, and he's got a simple name.
And he's got curly hair I'd love to have.
And he has a lovely lady with him.
A lovely lady.
So we'll entertain questions about both in just a moment, and I'll try to get Douglas Marr's name correct in my mind and in my computer. My Christmas show turned out to be made of just glass on this particular thing. We're back in a moment, old Taranta, and let's see what Craig has on his mind. Craig, thank you for hanging on there as long as you did.
Oh, I'm happy to, Bill. You didn't give me the usual introduction. I'm calling from up in Mariposa County, and Nick, after we get done talking about the skull, you've got to say something about Mariposa, because we've got a lot of them around here. But let me give you the skull questions first. First of all, on the on photographing it, you haven't mentioned motion pictures yet. Have you done that?
Oh, well, we didn't use motion pictures. We use videotapes, which are the same as motion pictures. Yes, we have quite a few of those.
And it comes out as clear as in the still pictures?
Yes, we except you have motion, and which you don't have in the slides. The slides are very distinct. We teach you how to observe them and how to grid them, and we have no trouble. A lot of people of the researchers like to watch the videos. Others don't want to. They watch the slides. So we have two groups of people who enjoy looking at both, and or one or the other. And what's the other question?
Well, as far as the photography, have you tried photographing it reflected in a mirror? Have you tried, for instance, polarizing filters, any other variations?
You can't name something we haven't tried.
Okay.
And we're mirror gazers, so we use mirrors all the time at the LED. Mitchell has a score last research project. We have Marie Antoinette's mirror. And the silver mirror, which belongs to the Mitchell Hedges family, and we were able to use that, and that goes back quite a few hundred years, and we had some phenomenal things happen, and of course you'd have to see the videos on that, and that's another story in itself. Yes, we do all that.
Okay. You were mentioning that you've run experiments hitting with different frequencies of light. Have you tried radio frequencies, and also have you tried extremely low frequencies?
We tried ultraviolet, X-ray, radio frequency, you name it.
What about the Earth resonant frequencies?
Yeah, each one of them seems to build up a certain energy core and alters the picture somewhat. The thing that alters the picture the most is light with color in it.
Yeah, I heard you say that. I was wondering if it might be specially tuned to the normal, you know, human brainwave frequencies.
Well, the brainwave can create color. For instance, we have a lady who was working on the skull, and she turned it without even knowing it. She was looking through the back. And we were looking at the skull in normal light, and no lights on, you know, just normal light, daylight. And the entire front of the skull turned gold. And we had a man sit there, and he turned the entire skull purple. Now, when this happens, it happens in the frontal parts of the skull, in the brow, the eyes, the cheeks, the jaws, and it picks up a color directly from it. So what we decided to do was have each person run color bands through their head and see what would happen within the skull, which we did. We ran the rainbow. First we ran the rainbows, and the pictures start coming out in rainbows.
Are you saying you had people visualize the colors?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it visualized specific individual colors, and that came out. Yes, we did all that.
Incredible. Okay, let me ask you something entirely different then. You were saying how the Mayan people had come in from various areas when you found...
I didn't find it. Anna Mitchell Hedges found it in 1924.
Yeah, but you were going to remove it, isn't that what it was?
In Lubiton. And when the skull was removed, the Mayans saw it and all start crying and laid on the floor. And the skull was given to them. From that time on, the skull remained with them for 2.5 years. And there's a great story about the fires that came from it and other things, which we won't get into. We don't have the time because there's another speaker here. And
you're saying people started coming in from different areas?
Yeah, they came in from hundreds and hundreds of miles through a great deal of jungle that takes us months to travel through. How did they get there?
Were these shamans or medicine men or what?
No, they were everybody. Women, children, men. There were many shamans rock women. Most rock people who work with rocks are women. Mm. And most of the ancient societies, most of the people who hold most of the knowledge are women. And that's another reason why we feel women were subjugated, because of her high role in society long before some of our organized philosophies came about. And so we had women, children, old people, young people. They came from the islands. They came from countries. They came through jungles. They came over mountains. And there was no way of communicating, you know.
Heard stories about the tunnels that exist.
I know
all over that
tunnel. I didn't want to get into that. I know about the Chow Far Triangle. And
I know some people
that
have been in some of those tunnels.
Yes, I have too.
They may have come through the tunnel.
I can also tell you where we believe the next skull is. We're trying to figure out how to get there before someone else finds it.
I was wondering if the medicine men and the women, had any special information for you about the skull, you know, from their own cultural history or knowledge?
No, all they know is the skull came from some people who were white, some with long hair, brown, black, and who were able to walk over the ground. In other words, not on the ground, but over the ground. And that story was very clear.
We have a bunch of those people in Hollywood.
Yeah, so we also have a bunch of them, if they take the right thing, seem to fly. But these people are very sincere about it. And that would be the best way of getting into it. Otherwise, we'd have to do a lot of explanation for the next 20 or 30 minutes to try and tell you the story about some of the things that happened.
Right. Let me just ask one last thing about the skull. I guess Bill asked if you had shown it to any of the astronauts. I was kind of surprised that Edgar Mitchell hadn't had a look at it.
Well, Edgar Mitchell Hedges, number one, was hired by the National Christian Crusade to prove certain things that had very little to do with psychic phenomena. Most people understood what his society was all about. And he got so involved that he found out that what he was trying to disprove happened to be taking place. So he had to change his story around a lot. He didn't believe anything, and all of a sudden he found himself into a tremendous amount of truths that he couldn't deny. And that's the best way of explaining Edgar Mitchell Hedges. Not Edgar Mitchell, I mean the astronaut.
Ed Mitchell.
Ed Mitchell, yes. But I've met most of these people, but the other thing is that if they wanted to see the skull, it would have been available for them. There's nobody that wants to see the skull, the Mitchell Hedges skull, who cannot see it. All they have to do is go to Canada, make an appointment, and they can see it. They're just not allowed to photograph it. I have all copyrights on the photograph with Anna Mitchell Hedges.
Mm-hmm. Also, what about the anthropologist, Jeffrey Goodman, who's done work on psychic archaeology?
What about it?
Well, you were saying, you know, anthropologists won't have anything to do with it. I would think he would be interested.
Well, I think that if he's interested, he hasn't made it known.
I mean, have you contacted him?
I don't contact anyone.
No.
I have hundreds of people contacting me, and the last thing I'm doing is looking for someone new to contact. I'm trying to avoid people. I'm here to promote the International Crystal Congress in San Francisco on June 20th, 21st, 22nd. And one of the subjects is the crystal skull. We have tremendous speakers up there on every subject involving stones and the skull. And,
I'll tell you what, I'll let you tell me something about Mariposite.
I can't tell you much about Mariposite, but you can come to one of my classes on Mariposite. I don't give classes on the air, but if you want a tranquility stone, and if you want something that works with brain tissue, Mariposite would be a benefit to you. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand anything about medicine. So don't listen to anything I'm telling you when it comes to treating your body or your, you know, go to your doctor and so forth and so on. But other people tell me that this has worked for them. And that's about all I'm going to say about Mariposa.
Okay, Craig?
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for hanging on the line for so long up there.
That's a deadly question.
Oh, well, we get into that all the time around here. Jeffrey Goodman would be a good man to get into this because he's a firm believer in what he calls the intervention, which was the intervention of celestial beings in the processes of the development of humankind.
Well, Eric Almlum and Craig Almlum wrote the best book on intervention from outer space. As a matter of fact, the only people that ever wrote a book that made sense on the subject, and if you can find a book, it's a very rare book, and they will break down everything, for instance, like the planet you were talking about.
Melina, right.
Melina.
Yeah.
They have written about this many years ago before Rompa, you know, became popular. Mm-hmm. And their information coincides with a great deal of what we got out of the skull 30 years ago, 35 mm-hmm. years ago, you know, 40 years ago. And are the closest writer. Next closest writer is Churchwood
mm-hmm.
in his books. Okay.
Right.
In his interpretations, Churchwood, who is completely ignored, is another good writer. It took us 4 years to find out. We had a whole library on this material, and accidentally we found out by watching a TV show.
I have a large library of his material.
Yeah, and I happened to be looking at a symbol, and I said, I've been looking for that symbol for 4 years.
He was talking about Lemuria most of the time.
No, he was talking about Mu.
Yeah, or Mu. Right.
Yeah, and so we started to go into his work, and then we started to go into Laplanche's work, and we went into Humboldt. We didn't name him, we went into him.
I've got to get into a commercial here. Are we going to get into trouble? I'm Bill Jenkins on KABC. The New World. That's about Ramtha, and we'll be discussing Ramtha here in the next hour. But we have...
About channeling, which a lot mm-hmm. of your listeners know about. And it's so nice to come to a show where I can communicate on the level that I'm used to communicating on without holding back. I'm so tired of doing these 9 a.m. talk shows.
Well, you took your tie off. You can just go.
And people have no idea what you're talking about. But actually what's happening is we're receiving valid, consistent communications now from other dimensions,
mm-hmm.
other worlds, other realities. And those communications are literally benefiting thousands and thousands of people all across the country. And Voyage, the book Voyage, is creating quite a stir because it's being read by a lot of so-called straight people, people who really believe in possibilities like this, but really haven't taken the step to say, well, maybe it could be possible. And Voyage is going to be, it's out now in trade paperback, but it's also going to be published by Ballantine Books
mm-hmm.
in mass market, and it's going to be available all over the world. So we're starting to call it a crossover book now in discussing a subject that everyone seems to be interested in and everyone seems to be now starting to tap into. What is Ramtha? Ramtha is an energy field. He's just like you and I, except he doesn't happen to have a body. He's tapped into the Akashic Records. He calls them the River of Thought. He travels around the country in the body of Jay-Z Knight, who is Ramtha's channel. And they communicate having seminars to literally thousands of people. Probably the most well-known participant is Shirley MacLaine. And in Shirley's book, Dancing in the Light, she talks about how Ramtha told her that within 2 weeks a script would appear, and that script would contain a mother-daughter relationship, and if she wanted to accept that script, that she would win the coveted golden prize.
It seems to me that that sort of happened to Shirley.
It did sort of happen. Ramtha introduced me to Shirley in 1981 while that was unfolding, and so I was aware of what was going on, and Shirley and I communicated. And
we had a wonderful 2 hours with Shirley one night.
She is really a great
grand lady. She promised me another show. She hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, she's a grand lady. So what, basically, I'm an author, and I observed Ramtha for about 5 years and how he communicated with literally thousands of people. And I broke through my skepticism to look at the possibilities with an open mind that perhaps there are other worlds out there. And we've all been looking for seen worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all out there in an unseen world. And now they're beginning to communicate with us. And Voyage, the subtitle, is an adventure into unlimitedness. And when you function in an unseen world without a body, you are totally unlimited. You can tap into anything you wish to tap into in any dimension you want to.
Well, I have, a thing that always crosses my mind, and let me kind of harken back to Bill, who was our last caller. Before we went, had to take our break, Bill, we really did. ABC wants us to do that. He doesn't believe any of these kind of things. And there are a lot of people this way, and skepticism, I think, is healthy.
Oh,
particularly
so.
Whenever you're dealing with a whole new set of values and a whole new set of ideas and things and research that's going on as we do on this show. So I consider myself very skeptical about so many of this. But when someone is called channeling, and we're hearing more and more people channel, and you have observed Ramtha as J.Z. Knight goes into trance and comes forth. We've had trance mediums on the show. We've had Kevin Ryerson and Thomas Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to check the information that Ramtha is giving and see how accurate it is? Or is it the kind of information that you really can't prove or disprove? There it is. Sometimes it just sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. Are we getting valid information that is checkable? And if we're doing that a lot, then where is it coming from?
Yeah, that's one of the situations that I've been presented with. How do you prove the possibilities? How do you prove the potential? First off, you prove it by people actually taking in the communications and changing their lives. I think that's a real significant test of a teacher or a counselor. In the book Voyage, there's a whole section devoted where people who have been in touch with Ramtha's communications and have taken them into their lives and then actually began manifesting things for themselves, manifesting abundance and love relationships and starting to get along with their family and doing things that they never thought that they possibly could do. Then I was with Ramtha one time, and I was actually touching the wrist of him in the body of J.Z. Knight, and he left the body in that instant, and I felt an electrical jolt at that point.
Something happened.
There was an actual, not too dissimilar than sticking your finger into a electrical outlet, I suppose, but there was a slight jolt, and knowing that there was a change of electrical energy there that actually took place. And then with Shirley MacLaine, and how do you tell a great star like Shirley that there's a script coming, and how do you tell her about the future, and how do those things really work? How do those things set?
Well, we could just say he got lucky on that. Had he done it a number of times with a number of people? Because if he has, then the chance of coincidence begins to get astronomical.
Yeah, that's true. I would venture to say that eventually there will be scientific boards set up, And what I'd like to see, what Voyage is doing to a lot of people is opening up their their souls and minds to the possibilities of what could exist, the new technologies that could come forth. For instance, I've been in a meeting with him, and he was talking about an anti-gravity device. And these kinds of things, somebody asked me in one of the talk shows, you know, well, let's have it. And I said, well, we'll have it when we realize that we can live in a world of peace and brotherhood, when all mankind, when all humankind loves all of humankind, then those new technologies will come forth. So what's happening now and what I feel people like Nick and you and Shirley and me are doing is just kind of going across the country and saying, hey, folks, some of the possibilities here are real, real. For instance, if we had communicated with the unseen world, we might have not even launched the Challenger.
Yes.
Someone might have said, that seal is going to blow. Don't do it. But we discount these things. Einstein didn't discount these things.
Neither did Tesla.
Stevie Wonder. There's the greatest example of a current fellow who's totally tapped into his essence and allowing it to flow. And he doesn't care what he looks like when he's singing and doing his thing. He's totally unlimited. What Ramtha is presenting to us is the ultimate human potential, what we all can achieve. Shirley MacLaine is just an example of somebody doing her thing and making it happen for ourselves, yet we all can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is the greatest test of a counselor. Ramtha isn't going to take your hand and say, follow me and you can manifest yourself a Rolls Royce or whatever. If you want one, he'll open the doors for you, and he'll show you how you can do it. I started out as a total skeptic, wondering what was happening, and then as an author, wondering that if it was possible, then we could open up whole new adventures and explorations from everyone on the planet. In other words, this is something that everybody can tap into. It doesn't matter what color you are, race, creed, origin, or makeup, or whatever. You can all tap into the essence of self. We can all tap into the river of thought.
Well, I have noticed, and perhaps you're certainly more studious about it than I am, but that it's being brought to my attention that more and more people are channeling. Now, this is something people weren't doing, mm-hmm. at least out in the open, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, I never heard of a channel.
Yeah.
And now they're doing it. I get channeled information sent to me,
mm-hmm.
Or information that is supposed to be channeled information. And from everyone, there are groups now. They get together
mm-hmm.
and channel together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, the people themselves find it a rather amazing experience that they are saying these things and thinking these thoughts, which mm-hmm. are quite contrary quite often to their conscious
mm-hmm.
thinking. Our belief systems.
Yes, one real good definition of channeling is when the channel begins communicating information that they're not aware of, and they communicate that information to people who need it or
mm-hmm.
consider it very important. One channel I talked to said that channels are going to become as plentiful as, and we're going to become very tired of channels within the next decade. So
you keep getting pounded on the head with some good ideas is the problem. We don't want all of those things.
Well, you know, until God starts talking to himself, you know, one of the great lines, you know, until we realize that the God essence within all of us is there,
mm-hmm.
and it's been talked out of us for the last 2,000 years by the various organized philosophies.
Yeah, longer than that.
And we realize that we are the creators of the universe, and we are co-creating that universe. And then we accept the responsibility.
Don't say that, because I look around and think, well, back to the drawing boards.
Well, you know, if there was a hell, you know, I think we'd all be there right now, you know, because a lot of people believe in reincarnation now. And if we've lived before, and if there was a hell, I suppose we would have,
mm-hmm.
we'd be there now, I suppose. So
well, that's another word that used to be bandied around only in the closet, but it's out now.
Well, in Voyage, there's a wonderful definition of hell. It's a shallow grave.
Yeah.
I met Jerry Falwell at the Sally Jesse Raphael show. One of Masterworks' authors was debating Jerry, and they were talking about hell was a dump site, and some priest came along and said, if you don't believe the way I want you to believe, you're going to go to the hell. And that's where the whole superstition started. And scribes came along and painted this magnificent... The devil, spelled backwards, is lived.
Yeah.
Evil is lived, so... Dogma, spelled backwards, is M-God.
Hmm.
So, you know, the limitations that dogma has set up around us have taken away that God essence from us. So, and like Nick was saying, you don't really want to talk to about God on the air. Good heavens! But
I don't mind it.
Well, so you know, those of us that are out there now we talk about energy fields and the source. And the force. Right. And the light. And
down, Han Solo, down.
And we start saying, enlighten up.
Yeah. You want to be enlightened, lighten up.
Enlighten up, yeah.
Let me lighten up here for just a few moments. And if you have some questions for Douglas Marr, please feel free to call. Remember, give the numbers again for you about it. And Douglas Marr has written the book, Voyage to the New World. It's about channeling. And certainly it's about Ramtha as well. And let's see what's on your mind, Bob.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I'd like to ask a question of Douglas.
Yeah.
I read something about, in a quote from Ramtha, a new book that's out called Celestial Rays. It shows photographs of ships landing on Mount Shasta.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. Anyways, he says something about the pineal gland. It's behind the pituitary, and apparently it's what most people are calling the third eye. It's really not an eye at all, and I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
Well, yes.
Everybody's nodding yes here. So.
Everybody's nodding. That really begins to open up a whole new adventure for a lot of people, because what we're finding out now is that as the pituitary gland is in receipt of what's called love joy, which is a state of blissful happiness, the runners experience this when they're running, jogging down the road, and they reach a peak and they pass this point. The pituitary actually releases an enzyme which flows back to the pineal, located in the back of the head, as Ramtha describes it. And that releases another enzyme which goes into the brain and actually opens up more of the brain to receive thought. The communications that are coming down now are that the brain is a receiver. It is not a reasoning device, that the reasoning takes place in the entire being, in your whole body. So that allows us to understand a Mozart or an Einstein immediately, because everybody can be a genius in this moment, because all they have to do is figure out how to open up more brain receivership. And you do that living in a place called unlimitedness, learning to live in the now moment without judgment. And some of those tips and clues are discussed in Voyage to the New World. And I think what's happening with people like Shirley MacLaine and other people is that they are actually tapping into this place called love joy. They're opening up their brain receiver, and they're pulling down new information for the planet. And they're actually part of a precognitive adventure that's really starting to happen. So the question you asked is really a very meaty one, because scientists now are beginning to show us how that enzyme really works and how the brain capacity really is increased. So one real good line is genius is just a thought away, that once you think you can open up that brain receivership, you will do it. And I talk to people who program themselves before they go to bed, telling themselves that they want to receive more from the river of thought. And they actually do. That's why people go to bed on a Friday night and with a big problem and wake up on Monday morning with a solution, and they haven't really done anything. They've just tapped into that source out there that flows around.
Just go with the flow.
That's right. Yeah, the river. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's becoming so commonplace now, people just call it the river.
Yeah.
Do you know about the river? It's becoming fashionable.
Well, certainly Ramtha is there.
Well, he happens to be the superstar of channeling right now. He is the only pure channel that I've had the experience with. And actually, Jay-Z Knight's soul actually vacates the body, and she goes through the death experience. And she goes someplace else. And it's a lot different than trance channeling or trance mediumship, where someone goes into a trance and you connect into their higher consciousness and higher intellect. Here, the soul of this woman is vacated out in a totality, and Ramtha's energy field comes in around Jay-Z Knight's and begins communicating fascinating information.
How did she get into this?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating story. She was playing around with pyramids. I'm looking over at our pyramid people across the table from me. And, yeah, actually, paper pyramids used to... there was a craze in the late 70s that they would preserve things. So she was putting food products under pyramids and this and that. One Sunday,
Patrick Flanagan had a lot to do with that. That craze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she put a pyramid on her head with the thought that maybe it'd make her brains better, quote unquote. And Ramtha, this entity begins to manifest. This full body apparition begins to appear at the end of her kitchen. And stood about 7 feet tall. It was as if golden glitter was being dropped through sunlight, as the story goes. And Ramtha appeared, and she looked over at him in total shock. And he said to her, "I'm here to help you over the ditch." And the ditch turned out to be unlimitedness. And all of us are in unlimitedness. We have this visualization of a three-dimensional reality. Whereas Ramtha told me one time there are five.